You know, sometimes the thing that you hope for spiritually starts to appear, you know? And when it does appear, people that you care about or love their soul, love their spirit, you know, love their soul pretty much. Whenever they have this awakening and they really understand it, when they really grasp the freedom that's in Christ and the has nothing to do with the flesh body and has nothing to do with the natural, because our position's in the heavenlies, you know, when they finally wake up to that and get free from the legalism and all that, I mean, it brings tears to your eyes. I mean, I'm having a hard time right now not breaking into tears, you know. It's like, if you hear me pause, I'm trying not to break into tears, because, you know, for many years you see these things and you try to help people see them, and it's such a battle, such a warfare. The devil, the whole system, the legalistic system, is against freedom. Apostle Paul said, "In my flesh dwelleth nothing but sin." If you really want to understand what I'm trying to talk about, read Romans 6, 7, and 8. In my flesh, the old Adam. Yeah. I mean, I could talk biblical terms, but I can also talk plain Jane terms. And here's what he's saying in Romans 6, 7, and 8. In your 3D body is nothing but sin. You got these old Adamic natures. You got these old programs. They're programs that are not even real, right? Habits, patterns, the outbursts, the angers, the judgmental. You know, you fall in because you were programmed from a child with their bloodline and your culture, and just your old Adam is there. And so the new creature is totally contrary. And so just like you had to grow as a physical being, teenager, adult, whatever, you learn these patterns, right? And the world is hitting you and trying to make you into a copy of the devil, right? And so you have these programs, these AI programs, that are that everybody else is doing. And so you're rubbing shoulders with everybody else, and you don't even know what to think about it because everybody else is pushing you back to the old ways, you know. Now, there comes a point where you become like a, I don't want to use the word ascended master, but you get to a point when you can see it's all a hologram and you can see the other people around you are just running on a program, you can actually love your enemy, you know, because your enemy is you. But they can't see that. They're still in the flesh mind. They're still in the old program. Man. So when you see people escape that programming and see through it, they know that the old Adam is still, you're walking with two natures, don't you? In this case I'm talking about, I don't know how long they've known this, but it seems they've known it for quite a few years, you know. But I've just realized by reading a post that they really seem to understand it really deep, you know. And it kind of brings tears to your eyes, you know. So in this case, it's the old Eve and the new Eve, you know, if whether it's the old Adam, new Adam. Whenever we say old Adam and new Adam, we're talking about the old Adamic nature. So Eve, she has the old Adamic nature too, because she's a piece cut off from Adam. She has the old Eve, the old flesh mind, just like the man does, you know. And so to move away from the old Adamic nature into the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ, and understand that those things that person has a problem with is not really who they are. It's not even real. Because once you enter into the born-again experience, you're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. So all those things that you felt guilty about or whatever, and the legalists are trying to put you back under law. You don't touch not, taste not, handle this. Don't go here. Don't do this. Don't drink a beer. Don't smoke a cigarette. Don't do this. All those things that legalists try to put you back under, you're free from. Even though you might have that stuff that you're dealing with, you're really free from it all. You just don't know you're free. Now, there will come a point in your walk when you realize, hey, that's not healthy. I don't want to do that. It's not beneficial for me, my kids, my spouse, my neighbors. I'm supporting the system. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. DMT, marijuana, fighting, arguing over stupid stuff, you know. Even eventually you'll wake up to the fact, you'll eventually see that every football game is the red versus blue. You'll quit going, you might enjoy it, but once you see through it, you see that it's all just a repeat. You can't enjoy it anymore, except for the fact that you're proud. You're not proud, but you're glad that God allowed you to see through it. See, then you can enter into a new walk, you know. The Angels. Do you think the Angels go watch a football game? Do you think the Angels would enjoy watching a football game? I don't think so. They're more observing how you move to the next level. Okay, they have anger issues. Okay, let's see how the hologram, how the Holy Writ, the Bible, how their day-to-day experience is going to get rid of that. We'll see how God is going to change them. They're ministers of salvation. Let's see how the angels are saying, let's see how God will move that person, because they're called, away from their temper, away from their bad habit. Let's see what God is going to do in their life. The angels are watching. They're helping. They're rooting for you. People say, do they know what's going on? You know, I used to remember this. Do the saints in heaven know what's going on in earth? Yeah. Because it's the same stuff happening every day. There's nothing new. Yeah, they know what's going on. They know the beginning from the end. Because they got their new glorified bodies in the mind of Christ. And the Bible tells you what's going to happen. I can see it. I can see the future. Tomorrow, the alarm go off. I'm going to put my shoes on and walk out the door. Get in the car and repeat what I did today. The same characters, the same programs, the same flesh-minded creatures, the same game over and over. This is kind of why it brought tears to my eyes, because if you got people that can see it, you're not alone anymore down here. Praise God. You're thinking, all that work I did, it was worth it. You know, even if one person can understand, like the Apostle Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but who was going to rescue from this old flesh body, this old simulated thing? Who's going to rescue me? Thank God, he tells you in Romans 8:1. Thank God, through Jesus, I've been rescued. There's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And so the legalists will try to put you back under guilt, shame, condemnation. Your spouse, look what you did last year. Well, that's not me. That's not the same person. And even if I do it again, it's not really who I am. Your spouse looks at you and said, why did you say that? Why don't you wash the dishes? Why are you still smoking that cigarette? Why are you trying to hide that cigarette? And you say, well, that's not who I am. I'm not ready to quit. I don't know why you're not ready to quit. Well, I do know, because you don't realize that your body, you don't haven't entered into the fact that your body's a temple, and everything that you do in the natural has a spiritual counterpart. But anyway, that's another video, or maybe later in the video. So everybody's struggling to move to the next level, because that's what this whole birthing process, this daily birthing process is. I used to have road rage. I don't have it anymore. Thanks to rideshare, I started driving right. It's probably saved my life, you know. Everything happens for a reason. And, you know, I didn't get road rage like I was going to pull a gun on somebody. But I'm saying I just got road rage for no reason. Now when somebody pulls out in front of me, I think the first thing that comes to my mind, thank God we didn't have a wreck. And number two, I used to do that. And I'm just like them. I could have made them. They could have been upset, worried, mistake. Somebody could have died in their family. I look at it. I say, well, they just made a mistake. If it's a young person speeding down the highway trying to kill, I say, well, they'll get caught. They'll find out in time. I'm just thankful I didn't have a wreck with them, you know. Be ye angry and sin not, you know. Everybody's in the process of moving to the next level. Some people take a lot longer. And it probably depends on how bad you get cut and put under the spiritual operating table, you know. Apostle Paul said, told Timothy, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. They probably didn't have clean water back then, like we do now, or supposed to have. The Bible says those that are, give strong drink to those that are perishing, you know. Sometimes you need a pain pill. And it could be, get e- it could easily, you could easily get addicted to pain pills. I'm sure. But if you realize, if you wake up and start studying the medical, you'll realize extra virgin olive oil is a pain pill. It gets rid of inflammation. I've seen that if you start to get a hard heart, you know, because you're rubbing shoulders with so many hard hearts, usually God sends somebody into your world that you care about to soften your heart, you know. It might be different people. It might be the same people. It might just be a repeat. It might be the same game going over and over, because the devil's trying to harden your heart. God's softening your heart. If you're saved, you should have a soft heart, but even the cares of this life and the situation, I mean, from all the lies and the attacks, I mean, it's easy to get a hard heart, you know. But God won't let his elect saint stay that way. He scourges every son he receives, whether it's a man or a woman. Sons of God, daughters of God. When it comes to hard hearts, you can't say that a man or a woman has a hard heart, because it's across the board, man or woman. A lot of people have been abused, and they had to overcome. Why should I forgive them? Why should I forgive them? Look what they did to me. God usually sends at least one person into your world, and you might not ever meet them, to try to soften your heart, you know. Praise God, hallelujah.
You never know. Some of these people might be angels in disguise, you know. Doing the roles, doing it's all theater anyway. The battle's for the soul. The devil's trying to harden your heart. God is trying to soften your heart. If all you are, if you're just surrounded by hard-hearted people all the time, what's the Bible? Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad hearts corrupt hearts. You got to get these. You can't be yoked up with them. I mean, you're here as a salt, but you've got to have something, someone, somebody with a somebody that's going to be introspective along with you that you can grow and talk. And it might be a local church, it might be a group of people, it might be some kind of Facebook group, or who knows what it is. I don't know, but you have to find it. You got to find something out there to keep you from getting a hard heart, because it can creep up on you really fast without you knowing it. You could have a narcissist in your life trying to hurt you. It might be whatever part of your life. It could be a church, a family, in-laws, people in your house. It might be your parents. It might be your kids. It might be a coworker. It might be any situation where people are trying to give you a hard heart because they have a hard heart. And like I said, this place is a copy machine. Those with a hard heart are trying to make copies of themselves. Those with a soft heart are trying to point you to Jesus to give you a soft heart. That's the battle. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. All the issues of life. And so, when you wake up to that, that everything around you is a distraction because of the whole battle's the heart, you know? Think about all these people in these hurricanes and all that. They might have had a hard heart, and God is breaking them down. He allowed it to happen. Even if it was a man-made thing, God allowed it to happen. They might be getting a new heart, you know, through all this trouble. Usually it takes trouble to break you down. And usually it takes somebody else having it worse than you. You can feel sorry for them. Or it might be a cat on the side of the road, or a dog that you rescue or something. Who knows what it is? But the battle's for the heart. And the Apostle Paul gave you the answer. You talk about a guru. Apostle Paul was the top guru. He went to the third heaven. He saw things he couldn't even talk about. The top guru to ever live was the Apostle Paul. And I guess Solomon. And I guess Daniel. And probably Moses, the meekest man to ever live. But Moses got angry and smote the rock. But he didn't, because he smote the rock, he didn't enter into the promised land. Sometimes we have consequences for our actions in the flesh down here. But that's not who you are. But you might have consequences because you made a bad decision. You know? You made a bad decision. You might be divorced. There might be some judgment. There might be some judgment on choices you make. Even Charles Stanley, he said every time if he gets out of the spirit walk into the flesh, God puts him in the hospital. He said that. I remember him saying that. I don't know if that recording's still out there, but he said it. God will lay him back on it, make him sick. He'll be laid out. He can't move. You know the truth if you're saved. You know what's right. If you're a human, you know what you should do and shouldn't do. You know you want to be healthy for your spouse or your kids, or you just want to be healthy for God. Your body's a temple. You know what's right, but you can't do it. That's what Paul says. I know in my body dwelleth no good thing. In my mind I serve God, but in my flesh I serve the devil, is what he was saying in a roundabout way. And so he was saying, this old nature is not you. And I'll take it to a next level. This old nature is the AI program that you're trying to step out of. And if you see the program that you're in a society, I don't care if it's USA, China, Russia, whatever, you're surrounded by people who are not spiritually enlightened or born again. You're around people who have no inner desire to have an inner renewal. They're just happy with what they're doing. They're going along with the hive mind. They're going along with the program of the hive. So to break the program, you need the Holy Spirit. And so whatever you're dealing with, you just say, Lord, I really can't break this, whatever it is. And you ask God to break it for you and just see what happens. You have to renew your mind. You have to seek and knock and ask. The whole point of this recording or video, whatever it's going to be, is that if a legalist comes, or you become your own legalist, right? You try to beat yourself up. Let's say somebody went through a divorce. You're bad. You might even be saying it to yourself, pretend to somebody else, but it might even be, you're evil, you're bad, you went through a divorce, you failed, you're a bad person, whatever words or self-talk or whatever. What you do is you tell yourself, you quote the scripture. There's therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The past is the past, not who you are. You're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. Yeah, I messed up. Yeah, I did this. Yeah, whatever. That's not who I am, though. I don't walk in that anymore. I don't identify with that. You identify with Christ and Christ alone. Your identity is not down here. And I promise you, you will be tested. You will be tried. You will be put under the fire. Plain and simple. Your character has to be put through the fire. Your heart has to be put through the fire. And whatever the propensity is, whatever the flesh mind propensity is, it will be tested. It will be put under the fire. It will be burned up. The wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. And you're going, and the faster you submit, the less pain, right? The faster you break the program, the less pain you're going to have. It's really easy. It's really not that complicated. But the religious crowd and the flesh creatures, they're trying to be good enough. You can't be good enough. There's nothing good in you. Once you step into that there's nothing good in you, you've arrived. Almost arrived, because then you say, well, okay, there's nothing good in me, then what? That's step one. Well, what'd Paul say? Well, thanks be to God, he has rescued me from this body of sin, body of death. It's a mortal body. It's a dead body. It stinks. If you don't take a shower, your feet stink. If you don't brush your teeth, the breath stinks. Who can rescue me from this body of sin? Romans 7, the last part. Thank God through Jesus. Romans 8, 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. What is that saying? So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that will quicken your mortal bodies. Romans 8, something down in there. And Romans 8, 28. All things work together for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. My point is, God is changing you. God is moving you. Your faith, you enter in by faith, and then you renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you enter in by faith, you renew your mind, you keep pushing and pressing and moving to the next level. But you're not doing it. The only way you can step to the next level is say, Lord, I can't do it. Help me. And then he starts to manipulate the storyline around you to push you to that level. It might be a job you hate. It might be a job you love, but it might be people on the job that are pushing you to the next level and challenging you. It might be a friend, family, online. It could be anybody. Now, it's hard to deal with this face-to-face while you're in the middle of it because people lose their cool, you know? But when you get home, think about the scenario, the storyline. Think of it. Look back at what happened. So let's say it's 8 o'clock at night and you had some stuff that happened at work. Look at it. Look back at that as a movie. What did you learn? What was the lesson? What's the pattern? What was God trying to show you? Why did you lose your cool? Why did you live in fear? Why were you in fear? See, fear, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, right? Why'd you go back to fear? Why didn't you trust? Why'd you lose your cool? Not beat yourself up. You don't live in guilt, shame, and condemnation in the past if you're in Christ. You learn from the lesson. It wasn't the other person. It's never the other person. This is a big lesson that you won't... The only way... What I'm getting ready to say is so deep, but so simple, but you won't get there unless you do the inner work for about 5 or 7 years and be serious about it. It's never the outward... It's never anything outside. Now, if somebody runs up to your car, tries to open the door and pull your wife out, and you get up and you beat him, you grab the guy and beat him, you know, that's normal, that's expected, you know, because you got to defend yourself. But I'm talking about stuff that really is like minor, and you why did you raise it to the next level? You know, it doesn't matter what they think about you, what they say about you, what their demeanor is, their body language, whatever. That's not you. It's on them. When you realize it doesn't matter what they do, and you don't have to get upset, it's all about an internal position. You know who you are in Christ. You know what you can do and can't do. Somebody might compare you to somebody else. Well, why did you not do this? Why did you not take care of this bill or pay this? Whatever, they put you under some kind of judgment because of something in your past, you know? Why'd you end up in jail or whatever it is? It's really none of their business, but it don't matter. That's not who you are anymore, you know? It's not your identity. But usually when you're yoked up in a situation of any kind, people still live in the past, and that's why marriages have so much trouble. They keep living in the past. How can the other person grow if you're rubbing shoulders with them every day and you're bringing up the past every day? How can that person grow and be free? Makes total sense why you go to church, you know, because they're sitting there in the church and the preacher's hopefully has grace, but he's hitting you with some truth that's convicting. And most people won't do the inner work unless they go to church. And so church can be a good thing, as long as they're not legalist. But it's going to feel like legalism when they're showing you that you're stinking thinking, you know. What's the gist of the matter? The gist of the matter is this. Most people think they have to be perfect to be walking in the Spirit. But nobody's perfect. Walking in the Spirit has nothing to do with being perfect. It's keeping short accounts. Lord, I messed up. I claim the blood. I'm under the blood. Please forgive me. I made things right with my neighbor that I offended. Can we go on to the next day? Yes. Praise God. You're free. Well, what if somebody brings up what I did? It's under the blood. It don't even exist anymore. It's not who you are. It never existed. Next day. Lord, I did it again. Please forgive me. I'm trying my best. Why are you trying? What do you mean, Lord? Why are you trying? You can't do it. You got to die. What does that mean? You got to die. Well, I lost my temper and I said something. I should die. Next time they do it, die.
Die daily. Die. So you mean if they say this, I can't say anything? Die. Do you even exist? You're already dead. You're hid in Christ and God. So it's a, see, this is why I try to tell people this is like cartoon land. This is not even real. It's a game. So let's say somebody walks up to my car and says, you're a no good, blah, 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 MF, blah, blah, SOB, blah, 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 blah. I'll just get out of my heart. I appreciate your opinion. I hope you get healed. Well, I saw blah, blah, blah. You did this. Well, okay. I don't know what you're talking about, but maybe I did. Maybe it appeared that way. See, there's all, you know, a person's perspective, they might have a right to be mad. They might have righteous anger, but it might not even be real. So whenever they're talking, just listen. Say, okay, I hear what you're saying. That's not the way I see the, you know, it happens on the job a lot. That's not the way I saw it. You might interpret it that way, but I saw it a different way, you know. People get mad at the, you go to the grocery store. And people get in line at the grocery store, get mad and throw a fit. And you say, Lord, I got mad in the grocery store line. Help me. What do I need to do? Die. What do you mean? Die. Go again. Again. This is why I talked about those movies, those time travel movies, especially the one that Live, Die, and Repeat. Every time, what's her name? Emily Blunt. Every time she told Tom Cruise, she said, do it again. And she'd shoot him. He'd wake up. Do it again. 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 He said, I'm so tired of this. Again. Again. And that's what this time travel movie's about. The Groundhog Day. I hated that actor. I just hated his demeanor and all that. But after watching that, after really grasping the concept of that Groundhog Day movie, it's exactly what you got to do every day. So you're facing off with something that makes you mad, or you do something, or a bad habit, or whatever it is. Die daily. You know what the consequences. You know it's not healthy. Die daily. You know if you eat that sugar, it's going to mess up your liver, and you're going to have. You know if you drink that six pack, it's going to mess. You're going to get green. What's that? Where their eyes turn yellow? The liver disease. You know you're going to get that disease. I can't stop. Die daily. Depend on me. People are running to these addictions or running to these other relationships because they're not running to Jesus. Hello? That's the deal, people. When you ask God for help and you're in communion with God, Lord, I don't know if I can make it through this one. He gives you the power. But when people disconnect from God, what are they going to do? They're going to run into some kind of addiction of some kind of fake idol, some kind of false identity. But even if you decide, well, you know what? I like butter pecan ice cream. I'm going to eat it every day the rest of my life. Even if you decide to do that, it doesn't really change your position, your spiritual position. You still might be enlightened, or you might be spirit-filled, but eventually what's going to happen is you're going to say, you know, let me do some fasting. You might get addicted to fasting. If you get addicted to fasting, it'll change your whole life. You'll think, man, I feel healthy. I feel good. I'm light on my feet. I got some strength. I got power. I don't need that food. I don't even need to eat. A couple weeks ago, it was like Friday. I ate it like Friday at 4. I didn't eat again until Saturday about 5, 26 hours, right? And it's like, I wasn't even hungry. You eventually get, you don't need anything down here. You don't need the food, you don't need the drink, you don't need the Hollywood, you don't need to impress anybody, you don't need their
their icons, their, you don't need their attention. You don't, you're just doing your own thing. Find you a hobby that you like doing. I like to do remodel stuff, and I like to study building websites, stuff like that. The clouds are finally moving. I'm watching them move. Hallelujah. Instead of just sitting there, they're moving. I didn't want to lose my train of thought, but I did, because I was on a roll there. Eventually, what's going to happen, you don't have to call yourself a guru or whatever, but you're eventually going to say, I don't need alcohol. I don't need marijuana. I don't need the TV. I don't need the music. I don't need anything. I just am in Christ. You're just sitting there. And eventually, here's what's going to happen. If you do this long enough, you're going to get to the point, they call it like an alpha state of meditation. You'll get to the point where you can use your thoughts to create the storyline in your daily experience. You can actually summon people with your thoughts. They come out of nowhere. You'll be thinking about somebody, and next thing you know, they call you or text you or email you or something like that, or they just show up in the program because you know it's a simulation. You get to a point where you don't want to do anything that's unhealthy, because the word healthy means whole and holy, 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 holy. So you won't even want to do any, you don't even have a conversation that's, you don't even want to rub shoulders with something that's unhealthy. You don't even want to look at anything unhealthy. That's what will happen eventually, because you know it's all fake anyway.